Thank you for sticking around for round two of this public service announcement show called In Depth. I'm still your host, Ian Sorensen, in the studio. I can't believe I have not had you in before. Have I not?
No,
I don't think
haven't.
I have, and I feel bad about that. It's Rochelle Pellissier from Crisis Call Center. You're the executive director, correct?
Yes, I am.
Yes. So take me through it. Actually, take me through your background. How did you get this position? How have you worked with this organization in the past? That sort of thing.
Well, I've actually run nonprofits for about 20 years.
Okay.
And about 12 years ago, I did most of my initial nonprofit executive directorship, so to speak, up at the lake in Truckee, at the Truckee Donner Chamber of Commerce and affordable housing nonprofit up there called the Workforce Housing Association. Yeah. So when I moved down here, I needed a job and was hired as the executive director of Restart, which does homeless services for the chronically homeless.
Okay.
And ran most of the homeless services, the shelters and everything downtown for many years.
Oh, okay.
Right. So that crisis intervention thing just seems to be in my blood.
Right.
And when the crisis call center job came up, it just felt like a natural fit. So I came over and they hired me and here I am.
All right. Well, how long ago was that?
It's been almost 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the process been like for you?
It's been wonderful to tell you the truth, because I really do like to help people. That somehow gives me, you know, good feeling about what I'm doing. So it's been very good. And we do a couple of things at the Crisis Call Center that most people don't know about. One is obviously the call lines, the 24/7 crisis call lines. The other, which we've been doing for 40 years and most people don't know about, is the sexual assault support services, where we send an advocate, either a staff advocate or a volunteer advocate, to every sexual assault forensic exam or where they do the rape kit kind of activities, to be an advocate for every victim in Northern Nevada.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So most people don't have a clue that we do that also.
I didn't know that either. So thank God I have them in the studio telling me this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's those two things. What else does Crisis Call Center do? Any other?
Well, we also actually take a lot of the Child Protective Service reports for the entire state of Nevada. We are there 24/7 taking reports for all of the rural counties.
Oh, okay.
And dealing with any crisis intervention for children in all of the rural counties. Do we need to? We take the reports and then determine whether we need to dispatch police to the situation to help the kids, or we just need to get that report to the state agency that it needs to go to so it's investigated properly. So we do that for the entire state in the rurals. We also do that for after hours and on weekends for Washoe County. We take the CPS reports and interact with them. Another thing that we do that most people don't know is Elder Protective Service reports. After hours, we take any of those types of reports and dispatch if we need to. Same thing after hours.
Okay.
So we do a lot of that kind
really
of thing.
Do, yeah.
We take the after hours crisis phone calls for the UNR counseling services. We take the after hours crisis calls to all of the rural clinics, the rural behavioral clinics in the state.
Wow.
So we do quite a bit of crisis intervention all over the state.
And all in so many different forms.
Yes.
It's crazy. So I guess, when you think crisis call center, I personally, when I first think about it, I think someone is having maybe suicidal thoughts.
Yes.
And they need to call. Is that the primary reason why people call? Or, I mean, does it really?
Well, that's why we started. I don't know if you know that. The Crisis Call Center has been around for over 52 years.
Wow.
We started in a phone booth in UNR's library. I love every time our anniversary is April 1st, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
And every April 1st, we put up this picture of this man, you know, back in 1966 in a phone booth at UNR. But it was an all-volunteer thing, and it was addressing that Nevada, even back then, had the highest rate of suicide per capita in the United States. We were number one 52 years ago. So the people who got the organization together with UNR and NAMS, which is our Northern Nevada Mental Health Service organization, it's the state hospital, got together and created with volunteers this call line. And it pretty immediately became a 24-hour call line. So if you think about back in 1966, there were no cell phones.
Right.
If you had a phone, you had one phone in your house. Many of the houses were on a party line. I don't know if you've ever heard about that, where everyone rings, the whole neighborhood is on the same line. It just rings differently.
Okay.
So the volunteers would actually take the calls in their house. So in the middle of the night, when a call came in and we needed to dispatch emergency emergency
services
to whomever was calling, they had to send their kids next door to call the police. So you think about that, the change in technology.
Definitely.
But we even were doing it way back then. So now today we're 24/7. We're a national, one of 10 national call centers for the Lifeline suicide prevention hotline.
Okay.
Which means that not only do we get all of the state of Nevada's crisis intervention calls, but say someone in New York is trying to call in to their local Lifeline facilitator or center, and they're busy, their call will roll out to us.
Wow.
So we do crisis intervention now all over the United States and all over the world. Actually, we get calls because of the World Wide Web.
Okay.
We get calls from all over the world doing crisis intervention.
My gosh. So the crisis call is kind of an overarching, like, very general term. So
right.
It's not just necessarily suicidal thoughts. What do other things do people call about?
You know, any kind of crisis intervention. And a lot of times it doesn't start out in their mind, it's not about suicide. In their mind, it's about whatever trauma is hitting them right at that moment.
Right.
You know, there might be some mental health issues that they're really triggered and just in total crisis. And sometimes it does get to the point of suicide. So we take calls. We have a substance abuse hotline that we answer. We take calls on any kind of crisis, because many times whatever that crisis is gets to a point where they do feel like hurting themselves or dying by suicide. Right. And it's not that they all of a sudden just feel like doing that.
It, right.
It usually is a buildup.
It's been bubbling.
Yeah, for a long time. And they have gotten themselves – they are in so much pain that suicide seems like the only course of action to get out of the pain. That's mm-hmm. usually what it is. It's, you know, when you think back when you're in crisis or you're really triggered about something, we all know we're not thinking rationally.
Yeah, no,
I mean, that's at
clear.
That point, you're hurting so bad, you know, you're not making rational decisions for yourself. So what they feel like is they're doing their families and everyone else, including themselves, because they'll be out of the pain, are better off if right. they're not around. And that's why we're there, you know, to get them to call to us so that we can listen and talk them through it, get them de-escalated, so to speak, mm-hmm. so that we can then make a safety plan for them. We start out small. How can we keep you safe for the next 24 hours, or how can we help you to stay safe for the next 24 hours, and what does that look like?
What does that entail?
So it might start out, it's never about one thing. It's never about one thing. It's never, usually, very rarely is it they're calling just because they have suicidal thoughts. It's, you know, several thing topics that they're calling
about. Lost my job.
Yeah.
Or,
I've been self-medicating on drugs. Now I feel that the last resort is I need to die.
Okay.
So usually, and we keep track of that kind of stuff, even though it's confidential, the calls in are confidential. Mm-hmm. The last thing we do is, or we want to do, is send out emergency services to your house for the whole neighborhood to see. So that's the last thing we do, and only if you're
at imminent risk.
Right. Because the first thing we try to do is get you to a place where you can keep yourself safe.
All right. Very cool. And so what's the makeup of Crisis Call Center? How many people do you have working there? Is it all volunteer now?
It's not. We have staff now. Usually we have about 25 full and part-time staff members.
Okay.
And on the call center side, we have about 50 volunteers, and on the SAS side, we have about 25 volunteers. Because the SAS side, and SAS is the Sexual Assault Support Services, we call it that for short.
Okay.
We have staff there Monday through Friday, and the volunteers actually take care of all the dispatching of advocates and the forensic nurses. At night and on the weekends. Okay. So that's all volunteer run.
All right. So let's get to the actual, I guess, the number. Numbers, you have a text number as well if people need to use that.
Yes. Well, the suicide prevention lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK or 8255.
Okay.
Anywhere can call that phone number. All the Nevada calls or prefixes come to us.
Okay.
And then you'll go to whomever calls that phone number will go to wherever their regional center is and then may roll to us. So anyone can call that number and you will get help.
Okay.
We also have a texting line. We were one of the first organizations that started a crisis intervention texting line.
Smart.
Back in 2010. And that you would text LISTEN to 839-863. And that's just us. That's not a Lifeline call. That's just a crisis call center texting line.
Okay. And then also, do you have like a physical location people can come see you if they absolutely need to?
No, we have a secure location just because we help a lot of people in, maybe domestic violence situations.
And somebody might seek them out.
Well, they're not seeking them out. They're angry that people help them,
right?
And they'll come. So we have for 50 years been a secure location. So we actually don't advertise our location.
Okay. Well, thank you for telling me that.
Good. Yeah,
I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah,
it is.
It's unfortunate that a place like us, who are there saving lives every day, would get threats. But unfortunately, we do. So we have to keep our volunteers and our staff safe. And
that is first and foremost.
As safe as we can.
Right.
You know how that goes.
Very cool. Is there anything I haven't touched on that you'd really want to get out to the people?
Just numbers of calls. Last year, we took 62,000. We had 62,000 contacts. 10,500 of those were by text message and mostly by kids, anywhere from 8 to, 24 is what we consider a youth. So we're out there saving lives all the time. We can't just do that with staff. We obviously, like any nonprofit, do not have enough funding to help all the people that we need to. So we're always looking for volunteers.
Good.
We give out, we give training. It's a 72-hour, very intensive training to our volunteers so that they're prepared for what they're going to be doing, with us. So anyone who wants to volunteer, donate, or just need our services, we ask to call. If you need our services, call the number I gave you. If you want to volunteer or donate, call 775-784-8085.
Okay. Very cool. Rochelle, thank you so much from Crisis Call Center.
Thank you.